We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we again approach your throne of grace, ask you that you would dwell within our hearts, open the meaning of Scripture to us, especially the verse we're studying this morning, and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have this morning a very shocking verse. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 1. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Kind of set the stage. In the parable recorded for us by the Holy Spirit in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, the Son of God takes us out into a farmer's field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. The oddity here is that the farmer didn't really find the treasure. When he went out to plow the field, that was most likely the last thing he had expected. The truth is that the treasure really found the farmer. And we are reminded of the words of Christ recorded in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 1. I am found of them that sought me not. By sharp contrast, here in Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 1, we have the bride searching for her loved one. But she doesn't find him. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Shocking as it is, this is not an unusual experience for an elect child of God. Truth be told, there are times in the life of the bride of Christ when her bridegroom seems to be hiding from her. There is an answer to it, and we'll begin to look at the verses of our text and pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit as we study it. Verse reads this way, by night, on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The scene opens at night, by night. And very often night times are dangerous times. This is one of the many night scenes recorded by the Holy Spirit in Scripture. And the mysterious night scenes in the Bible provide a fascinating study. A pastor named Daniel March one time wrote two books on this theme. The first one was entitled Night Scenes in the Bible. The book was so well received that 10 years later he followed up with another book, a sequel entitled From Dark to Dawn. Night scenes in the Bible cover a wide variety of subjects. They range from the very good to the very bad. One example of the very good, Joshua chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Joshua, and by the way, the Old Testament name Joshua is the equivalent of the New Testament name Jesus. So Joshua here is another type of Christ. Judges 10, beginning of verse 9, Joshua therefore came upon them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. It was a night march and a night scene. And the Lord discomforted them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them all the way that goeth up to Beth Horon and smote them from Azekah unto Melchedah. That was a very good night scene. Now let's look at a very bad one. John 13, verse 30. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Judas Iscariot. Here in the Song of Songs, chapter 3, verse 1, the night scene that we're looking at involves the bride of Jesus Christ, and let's remember that. This is the first of the bride's two night scenes in Song of Solomon. The second is found in chapter 5, verses 2 through 8. She says, "By night on my bed I sought him." So the setting here, is that, as the bride says, is, quote, on my bed. And right here is where a lot of the commentators go astray. I have practiced what I preached and what I preached to you. It's all right to look at other commentators, see what they have to say, but only after you have prayed for the Holy Spirit yourself and studied from his book, the Holy Bible. And after that, then if you want to look at other commentators or whatever to see what their opinions and expressions might be, there's nothing wrong with it. But you don't put the cart before the horse, and a lot of the commentators go wrong here. When the bride says, "By night on my bed I sought him," they criticize her. The bride is lazy, they say. And they point to something like Proverbs 6, verse 9. "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man." Every commentator I looked at, which wasn't a whole lot of them, but they all agreed on this, that the bride was a sluggard here. She was lazy. She shouldn't have been searching for the Lord on her bed. Let's remember that these are the words here of the bride of Jesus Christ, not the words of a hypocrite sluggard. Let's remember that the book of Song of Solomon is written very much like the book of Revelation. And we make a sad mistake if we believe that it's chronological all the way through. It is not. There are flashbacks and flash forwards all over the place in Revelation and in Song of Solomon. We've already had two times at the end of chapter 1 and close to the end of chapter 2 where the bride is pictured in eternal glory with her beloved bridegroom. That's settled. Now we're in another one of the flashbacks. So we're talking here about an elect child of God. But in the flashbacks now, instead of being in eternal glory with her beloved bridegroom, she's back in this great and terrible wilderness world that we're living in. And she's hiding in the rock for fear of the enemy to seclude herself from them. And there are foxes, little foxes, that are running around trampling the little grapes in the vineyard. That's the context right here. There is a truth. I don't remember who said it, but the truth is this. Whenever you have two individual people involved in a dispute. There is never a 100% right and a 100% wrong, because both of them are sinners. But there is still a right and a wrong. We wouldn't say that the bride here was searching for her Savior in a perfect manner. None of us do that. But she's still searching for him. A little word study helps here. There are three references in the King James translation in Song of Solomon to the word bed. The first one we've already looked at. It's in chapter 1, verse 16, where it talks about the bride is talking, and she says, "Our bed." Our bed is green. The our, O-U-R, that she's talking about are her and her bridegroom, Jesus Christ. She's on resurrection ground there. We've looked at that already. The next mention of the word bed is right where we're at in chapter 3, verse 1. And instead of our bed, it's my bed, the bed of the bride. And the third reference, we'll find, God willing, if Christ doesn't come back first, in chapter 3, verse 7, where it's his bed. So the three references are our bed, my bed, his bed. The our referring to the bride and groom, the my bed referring to the bride, his bed referring to the groom. And interestingly enough, there are three different Hebrew words here for the word bed. Three of them. It helps immensely when we do some word study and look at some of the night scenes in Scripture and some of the things that are said about them. And let's remember here, we're talking about the elect bride of Jesus Christ. This book began in the middle of things. There was a lot that happened before Song of Solomon chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. The book starts this way. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, and the bride is talking, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine." So she wasn't like the farmer going out in the field and happened to be found by the treasure. By this time, she's already found the treasure, or the treasure has already found her. She is the bride of Jesus Christ. Let's remember that. She's the elect bride of Jesus Christ. That's the one who's talking here. "By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not." There's no sluggard here. Let's look at a few of the passages that talk about night songs and things like that. Starting with Psalm 42, verse 8. And this is going to just scratch the surface, but it'll get you started. "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life." So here's a night scene. But she's not alone during the night. The bride isn't. His song is with her. A night scene. Job 35, verse 10. "But none saith, where is God my maker, who giveth songs in the night?" This passage is precious beyond words. We all have night scenes in the Bible. One reason being for the strengthening of our faith, and that's the way it is for the bride here too, not because she's a sluggard. But when we're going through these night scenes, our God gives us songs in the night, songs to sing in the night. Heathen people can't do that. Children of the devil does not give his people songs in the night. Our God does. Psalm 6, verse 6. "I am weary with my groaning. All the night I make my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. These are the words of the Son of God, by the way. A night scene. And yes, he's weary with his groaning. The bride's weary here too in Song of Songs. And all night, he makes his bed to swim with his tears. Psalm 16, verse 7. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Isn't that a fascinating thought? During these night seasons, the Holy Spirit is instructing us through the word which we've already studied. I have set the Lord always before me, whether it's daytime or night. Because he is at my right hand, this is even in the night seasons, he's there by your right hand. And because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. We are very, very well protected by the bridegroom during the night seasons, even though it seems like he's a billion light years away. Psalm 17, verse 3, thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. That's where faith is really tried, isn't it? Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. These are the words of the Son of God also, but they're also the words of his bride. We can say the same thing. Not in the perfect way he said it, but the same thing nonetheless. Psalm 74, verse 16. The day is thine, the night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. God is not only the God of the daytime, but he's also the God of the nighttime. And our God not only controls things during the night, during the day, but he also controls things during the darkness of night. Let's not forget that. Psalm 77, verse 6. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. This is the bridegroom searching for her God at night. This is exactly what the bride is doing, or the bridegroom, no, the bride rather. This is what the bride is doing in Song of Solomon 3, verse 1. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loved. That's exactly what she's doing. And it's exactly what she should be doing. It's not because she's a sluggard. It's because she's an elect child of God. She knows what she's doing. How often have you and I prayed when we're in our night scenes? Now, sometimes we pray more fervently then than we do at other times. Psalm 91, verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. It is true that the devil's a god of darkness, and it's true that the children of the devil do a lot of their work under the secrecy of night. But it's also true that we don't have to be afraid of it. Our God is also the God of the night. He knows what's happening, he controls what's happening, and he's working it for our good. And we cling to that. Psalm 92, verse 2. Show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. And God will answer that prayer. And one more, Psalm 119, verse 62. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. So we give thanks to our bridegroom as much during the night scenes as we do in the day scenes. There's no difference. Outwardly there is, and it seems to us like there's a big difference, but Scripture says that's not true. There's no difference. So now she says, I sought him whom my soul loveth, but I found him not. And that seems so contrary to what we had before. the Isaiah passage, I was found of them that sought me not. Well, there are different kinds of finding and there are different kinds of seeking. And God always makes the first move. And when we're talking about I was found of them that sought me not, we're talking about when we were children of the devil and the Holy Spirit found us and converted us and gave us a new birth. And then we weren't out looking for him. We weren't looking for Christ. That was the furthest thing from our mind. We were children of the devil. And the Holy Spirit found us and brought us to the great treasure and revealed him to us. That's the kind of seeking. The Father's involved in it. The Son is involved in it. And the Holy Spirit is involved in it. That's not the kind of seeking that the bride was doing here. She's already been found. It's a different kind of seeking now. But let's look at some examples of God making the first move. And we're going to look at three examples, all from Luke chapter 15. Son of God says this, and I'm starting with verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? So the shepherd here is searching for the lost one, isn't he? And he searches until he finds it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And he cometh home and calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So here the picture is that the good shepherd seeks for the sheep, the lost one, and finds it. That's the Son of God doing the seeking. The very next parable talks about the Holy Spirit doing the seeking. Still in Luke chapter 15, verses 8 and following, Or what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So here you have the Holy Spirit seeking, and he's seeking diligently until he finds the lost coin, the elect bride of Christ. So you've got the Son doing the seeking, you've got the Holy Spirit doing the seeking, and in the next parable, you've got the Father doing the seeking. A few selected verses, again, from Luke 15. The prodigal son, and you know the story, I'm not going to retell it, but he arose and came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. He was searching for him, looking for him. He saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. And the son said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for my son was dead, he is alive, and he is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. This is God doing the seeking. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit involved, and he always finds what he's looking for, the lost elect bride of Christ. Genesis 24 is a graphic picture of the Holy Spirit, the servant, being sent by Abraham, the father, to find a wife for Isaac, the son. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country, to my kindred, and take a wife to my son Isaac. And the end of the story is this. Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Okay. We've looked at some examples of one kind of seeking. This is the kind of seeking that is always successful, and it involves the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the condition that the bride is in Song of Solomon chapter 3, verse 1. She has been found by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. She is elect. She is the bride of Jesus Christ. That's already settled. Now, after all this has happened, the bride starts seeking. Her seeking is a little bit different than that of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. She already has found the treasure. Now she's seeking for it again. She's seeking for it. And amazingly, She doesn't find him. She doesn't find him here in this verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 1. She doesn't find him in chapter 3, verse 2 either. Yet. We're commanded, after we have been found, we are commanded to seek for the one who found us. Over and over and over again in Scripture. One place would be Isaiah 55, beginning at verse 6. Seek ye the Lord. This is the command to the bride. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's a command. It's not a suggestion. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Well, this is important. Why is the bridegroom hiding from the bride here? One thing, that's not supposed to happen. Well, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And the end of the matter is going to be this. Ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. That's how it's going to end up. So we look at this mysterious verse, which troubles us so much. I sought by night on my bed. I sought him whom my soul loveth. Now, even in this night scene, she still has faith in her Savior, and she still loves him, the bride does. I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Why not? Why did he hide from her? Because her faith is being tested, that's why. And she's going to be blessed immensely from the night scene that she's struggling to get through. There's blessings for it in everything for her. It's not the way I would have done it. It's not the way you would have done it. But God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And my ways are not your ways. I'm thinking a lot deeper than you are. Two times the Holy Spirit repeats this. Once in Matthew 7, verse 7, this, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And then for emphasis, he repeats it word for word. In Luke 11, verse 9, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Well, if that's true, then why does the bride say, I sought him whom my soul loveth, I sought him but I found him not? Why does she say that then? And the answer is that the translation of Matthew 7, verse 7 and Luke 11, verse 9 is not really an accurate translation. The Greek words for ask and seek and knock indicate a repetitive action. So the right answer, and you can find this, by the way, by searching other passages in Scripture also. And the King James translation is very, very close to a word translation. That's what makes it so valuable. But in this case here, the Amplified Bible gives us the real meaning. And the meaning is this. Keep on asking, and it shall be given you. Keep on seeking, and ye shall find. Keep on knocking, and it shall be opened unto you. The thought here is, don't think that you can ask once and all of a sudden you're going to get the answer. A lot of times, it doesn't work that way. Don't think that you can start to seek and immediately you're going to find what you look for. No, it doesn't sometimes work that way. Don't think that you can knock one time on the door and the door is going to fly open. Usually, it doesn't work that way. If it did, a lot of hypocrites would get into heaven. They'd ask one time, and it would happen. They'd knock one time. They'd seek one time. It'd all be given. That's not the way it works. The way it works is you've got to keep on asking. Your faith is being tested. And the promise is that hang in there. He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. That's the way it works. So if you keep on asking, the promise is, it shall be given you. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So hang in there. Keep on asking. And if you keep on asking, you will find. That's the promise. Keep on seeking. This is a daily thing. You search the Scriptures. They are they that testify of Christ. And they are the ones the Holy Spirit gives you, through which he gives you the life that you have. The Holy Spirit works through the Word. Keep seeking it, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and it will be opened unto you. This is the command that has been given to the bride, and she is being faithful in following it. And it starts out with a night scene on her bed where she is searching for her bridegroom. But she doesn't find him yet. Yet at the same time that she can't find him, she says, I'm calling upon the one whom my soul loveth. She is still deeply in love with him. She's spiritually in very good condition. It's not a weakness here at all. It's not that she's lazy, a lazy sluggard at all. She's in the height of her glory here, if you want to talk about it that way. When you hear the cooing of the turtle dove, which is one of the first signs of spring that we had in the second, near the end of this of the second chapter, Song of Solomon, flowers appear on the earth, the singing of birds has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in the land. When you hear the voice of the dove, we call it the morning dove, one of the very first signs of spring. And when you hear the dove cooing, she sounds like she's a billion light years away. Way, way, way in the distance. When you finally spot her, she's very, very close. Very, very close. And so even though the bride hasn't found the bridegroom yet, in the way she's already found him, he found her, but she hasn't found him the way she wants to find him again. It's still going to happen. One man wrote this, as nights and shadows are good for flowers, and moonlight and dews are better than a continual sun, so Christ's absence is of special use. It has some nourishing virtue in it. It giveth sap to humility, putteth an edge on hunger, and furnisheth the fair field of faith to put forth itself. Translation, there are tremendous blessings for the bride during these night seasons where she's searching for the bridegroom but can't find him. The sermon is going to be continued next week because there's going to be a second time when she searches and can't find him. It's all connected. But I'd like to end this sermon with the words of the Holy Spirit recorded in 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Notice the word bed is used three times in Song of Solomon in the King James translation. Three is the number of the resurrection. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That's the situation of the bride here in Song of Songs, chapter 3, verse 1. That the trial of your faith, and that's what's happening here, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, and these are fiery trials, that's what she's going through. I sought him whom my soul loveth, but I found him not. It's a fiery trial. Well, keep on seeking, and you'll find him. And she will, and she will, she does. And it won't be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. in whom thou, though now ye see him not, and that's her condition. She don't see him right now, and that's not, she wants to, and that's your condition and mine, by the way. Yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Translation, the bride in this night season is being greatly, greatly blessed. And her bridegroom is very, very close to her. She just can't see him.